Tonight, I am a husband, and I play the role well. It is a fantasy I have never played out before, and I enjoy new things. This was requested, of course, by the woman who has me tonight. She wants me eager and in love with her. She wants the sex to be passionate and intimate, and this is what I give her. I hold her against the window of the room, her bare breasts pressing against the cold glass as I enter her from behind and kiss her neck, telling her I love her. She moans and comes for the third time this night, and she tells me she loves me too. I place my hands on her hips and force myself inside her as far as I can, before releasing my pleasure inside her to a ragged set of gasps and moans. She asks me if she might taste her husband, and I whisper agreement in her ear, watching as she falls to her knees and takes me in her mouth, cleaning me with her tongue. She swallows eagerly and kisses my thigh. Hours later, as I lay upon my bed, beads of sweat running down my hips and forehead, she asks if she might have me again. I nod and tell her to request me at the desk. This is my life. I exist to provide pleasure to those who seek it, and I do so willingly. Within these walls, I assume the roles that are required of me, and ask no questions, for questions are not allowed. My handlers are a collection of people who know what it is I need and inform me thus daily. They provide for me, care for me, and in turn I work for them. I enjoy my work, they tell me so. I have a large room to myself when I am not hosting another, and it affords me a view of a city far away and yet tantalizingly close. I am told I am not allowed to go there, and I obey, for I am cared for here, and they know what is best for me. My name is 45-6. Tonight, I host two women who wish to share me. I smell a curious scent on their breath as they tear the clothes from my body and kiss my skin, sucking my nipples, biting my collarbone, and telling me all the things they wish to do to me and I to them. They kiss each other while they fondle my length before they suck it. At first one at a time, before one takes the tip in her mouth while the other plants kisses and sucks along the shaft. I moan at their collective desire for my body and urge their hunger for me. The taller of the two urges me then to take her friend from behind, and I consent, throwing her down onto my bed and entering her with a familiarity most of those who visit me enjoy. While I satisfy her, the tall one slides her tongue into my mouth and we kiss. I can sense her inclining her head to the right so she might watch her friend being penetrated as we kiss. Before long, she lays on the bed on her back, spreading her legs and revealing her desire. She demands that I fuck her. As I withdraw from her friend, I lean over her, holding her wrists down, and I enter. Her friend watches from my armchair, fondling herself and moaning loudly. They leave without a goodbye, intentionally leaving their underwear upon my bedside table. I wonder if they wish to instill some form of lasting desire in me, as if the scent of them might leave me intoxicated and yearning for only them. They also leave a small oval device which I open to reveal myself. This is the first time I've ever seen my own face, and the event is as horrific as it is curious. I do not recognize myself. The messy brown hair, the grey eyes with flecks of green, the round chin, each feature is as alien as the next, but I feel almost empowered for it. The item, as well as my previous guest's underwear, is soon confiscated by my handlers as contraband. I submit their loss willingly. A woman of some years enters my room not 30 minutes after their departure, and I forget about them entirely, thinking only of the face which I now know belongs to me. The woman desires a gentle companion for the night, and I submit to her desire with a smile and happy thoughts. This is, after all, what I exist for. Some days, as I lay in a pool of my sweat and semen, I ponder the contents of the world outside my window. The lights that dot the high-rise buildings in the distance blink on and off as the sun rises and sets, and I wonder if those who visit me come from there. I ask my handler for today, a young man I know as Stephen, where my guests come from, and he tells me this is none of my concern, and that they are all clean. I inquire after the relevance of their hygiene in the context of this conversation, and I am told to forget such trivial matters and to prepare for a male guest. I dress smartly, as the other men have always favoured me, and wait upon the end of my bed. He is rough and unloving in his passion, and takes me from behind with nails digging into my hips. He tells me I am a whore, and that he wishes to come inside me. I beg for this, and tell him that I am eager to feel him release inside me. I feel his grasp on my flesh weaken at my words, and I feel his ecstasy in both his weakening grip and the warmth flooding me. He tells me he does not wish for me to come, and that I exist to please him and nothing else. I nod through the pain as I find his tongue inside me, licking and sucking the remnants of our lovemaking from me. Once he is satisfied, we lay on my bed and embrace. He falls asleep in my arms, and I ponder his words again. I exist to please. I exist to please and nothing else. I exist to provide pleasure, and I do so willingly. And yet I once again question myself. As he leaves, and my handler informs me that I have no more guests to host this night, I decide to explore. The corridor outside my room is barren of the white-suited handlers who bring me my food, and I creep down the length of the brown carpet, peering around the corner. I see two of the suited men discussing a document together. One seems perplexed, the other is visibly angry. I go the other way, not wishing for my exploration to be discovered, ensuring my door is closed as I pass, before continuing on seeking what? I do not know. Down one corridor, then the next, each as empty as the last, I finally arrive at a room with a metal door. A small plaque over the handle bears the same symbol that adorns the walls and doors of this place. Under the logo, there is a word that I believe is the name of the building. The word is Ouroboros. I do not know its meaning. I reach for the door handle, a cold shiver rushing down my spine, as my hand grasps the smooth metal and I begin to turn. A firm hand appears on my shoulder and I turn to see another handler, a grey-haired woman known as Andrea. She admonishes me for leaving my room, and tells me that she knows I am aware of the rules. Gently she removes my hand from the handle and leads me back to my room, where she deposits me with threats of punishment should I find myself wandering again. I nod in agreement and apologize. The door closes behind her and locks with a click. Days pass and I find myself entertaining more guests than I am usually accustomed to. I wonder if this is some form of punishment for my behaviour. As soon as one individual or party leaves my room, another arrives. As the designated time for lights out arrives, I am exhausted, soaked in the sweat of my work and in pain. The men they offer me to are never gentle, and often arrive in pairs or groups of three. I feel tears rushing from my eyes, and fitful sleep takes me. I dream of the metal door and what lies beyond. Dreams of what lay there, beyond that barrier, consume me. Days, weeks, months pass, and I show no more resistance to my handlers. They know what is best for me. Tonight I host a married couple who wish to live out a fantasy. The man wishes to watch me make love to his wife. He says he wishes to watch me fuck her in the ass. She says she does not allow him to do this. I gently work myself inside her and she gasps in pain, and I continue until my pelvis presses against the curve of her behind. She bundles the sheets of my bed in balled fists and begs for me to abuse her. After a while, as sweat pours down my forehead and I feel my orgasm building inside me, I feel a hand on my throat. He has risen from his chair and now chokes me from behind. This was the second part of the fantasy. He pushes me backwards, forcing me to slide out of his wife in one vicious movement, causing her to scream. He hits me in the jaw, slamming his fist into my gut and sides. I feel my nose break under his punishment and offer the resistance and fear that the two agreed was adequate with my handlers. Eventually, he leaves me bloody and battered and makes love to his wife on my bed. I feel a stream of blood fall from my nose down my cheek and ponder my life as they confess their love for each other. I exist to please. This is where I live. The carpet is rough underneath me, and I beg for sleep or unconsciousness to take me. My nose is left bandaged for weeks, and thus I am unable to host guests. My handlers provide me with amusement to keep me occupied, and I am grateful for the reprieve. A doctor, wearing the familiar white garb of my carers, visits me daily to check on me and to provide medication. He provides little care, and asks only after when I believe I will be fit to return to my duties. My body aches throughout, and I am plagued with an unrelenting headache, which the pills he offers do little to ease. I think of the door and what lies beyond. I wish to see it. If this is to be my life, then I will endure it without the plaguing nightmare of what my handlers do not wish me to see or to know. Today, Andrea is coming to remove my bandages. This is my last chance, as once my face is healed, my work will resume, and judging by the disdain my once kind handlers show me now, I do not believe that the sadism I have been receiving recently will end. My door opens, and I stand by the window, gazing out towards the city. 45-6, she calls. I do not turn, wishing her closer. I hear her slippered feet on the carpet approach, and I whirl on the spot, wrapping an arm round her throat and pulling her to the floor. She struggles against my grip, raking sharp nails down my arm and face. The pain is distant and easily ignored, and her struggle soon fades to nothing as life leaves her. I apologize to her lifeless body and lay her gently on my bed. I race from the room and head for the metal door. I ignore all sense of caution, throwing myself around corridor corners with wild abandon. The metal door looms ahead and I stop before it, my heart throbbing in my chest. I reach down to the handle and turn it gently, pushing open the door as fear builds within me. The room beyond is small, almost disappointing, were it not for its contents. A door sits in the middle of the room, bordered by a metal frame with a silver panel next to it raised on a platform. The door itself is unassuming and yet peculiar in its almost blatant normality. The handle is circular and wooden, and the door offers no cause for concern. I cross the room and stand before the panel, noting that a numerical keypad is inlaid next to an LCD window, which currently shows the number 37-0. I hear shouts coming from the corridor outside. They call my name. They demand to know where I am. They scream threats. I calmly cross back to the door and lock it from the inside, not seconds before fists begin pounding on the sheet metal. I ignore them and return to the panel. 45-6. I key the numbers into the panel and watch as the numbers morph and glow in blood red. The door begins to hum before making a gentle click sound and resuming its quiet existence. The banging outside intensifies. Threats turn to pleading. My heart makes idle promises to explode. I reach for the door handle. The door swings open under my touch to reveal a blinding brightness that causes me to recoil. Warmth bathes me as my eyes adjust and I look out over an idyllic vista. Golden leaves fall from the trees that dot a park. I've seen parks and the like in the books and magazines my handlers bring me. This scene is beautiful. I step through with bare feet, leaving the cold carpet behind and finding dry, warm grass creeping between my toes. Children walk with their parents along graveled-lined paths, and the sound of laughter and happiness fills the air. A child runs past me and collides with a woman with long, black hair and piercing green eyes. Those eyes light up as she reaches down to lift the child into her embrace, and my heart slows to a dull thump. The woman bears a familiarity that causes my stomach to rise and fall, threatening to empty its contents at any moment. I watch with bated breath as she calls out a name and a man appears from behind a tree, jovially returning her call and placing a kiss upon her cheek. I fall to my knees and fear overwhelms me. His brown hair, styled and yet unmistakably defiant in its appearance, flutters in the breeze, and grey eyes with distant yet ever-present flecks of green gaze at the woman who drifts through my mind, reverberating through the recesses of my memory in a painful cascade of loss and sorrow and confusion. I wish to call out to them, for him to turn to me, see if his familiarity is nothing but an illusion, but a cord appears around my throat and I choke on the words. I snatch with futility at the wire that clamps my windpipe and groan and wheeze desperately as black spots appear in my vision. I am dragged away, one hand scratching at my throat, the other reaching out to the woman who I know, or might know, or once knew. My body is hauled into a vibrating room and a door slams shut, robbing me of the light and the warmth. Voices flood my ears, calm and emotionless. They say that he is defective and to be destroyed. They say he found the door. They say he figured it out. A man in white clothes appears in my peripheral vision and he takes a file from another, poring over the pages and groaning. He nods to another and the wire around my throat tightens further, the pressure in my skull increasing, feeling it as if it might burst. As my vision begins to dim, the last thing I see as darkness falls over me is the symbol of a snake consuming its own tail, threaded onto the pocket of the figure's white jacket. Energy bleeds from my body and I cease my struggle. My body falls limp. Tonight, I am a husband, and I play the role well. It is a fantasy I have never played out before, and I enjoy new things. This is my life. I exist to provide pleasure to those who seek it, and I do so willingly.